I recently have been finding myself with singing the hymn Jesus Loves Me quite a bit. And I was just wondering, it's, I don't know if you ever find this sometimes when you sing a hymn and you start dwelling on certain parts of the verses. And the part which I really just was thinking was in that first verse. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I just wondered if we could look at some of the scriptures which just show us how the Lord loves us in the scriptures. And I think the best place really to start is one of the most well-known verses in scripture, in the Gospel of John and chapter 3. Gospel of John and chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish but have life eternal. For God has not sent his Son into the world that he may judge the world, but that the world may be saved through him. It's a really wonderful couple of verses of scripture, isn't it? The world, dear friend, refers to you and me and to everyone in this world with us. And while it might seem strange, the real context of this verse is that you and I are sinners. You and I, like those we have read about in the reading as well, have wandered far from God. And that began with sin coming in the Garden of Eden. Each and every one of us is sinners. A sin is doing our will as opposed to God. It's putting ourselves before God. And even putting one sin on our record is enough to put an impassable barrier between us and God. Because God is holy and God is righteous. And he cannot have sin in his presence. That's the context that really lies behind this verse. You see, God is holy and righteous, and therefore sin could not be in his presence. But more than that, sin needed to be punished. But God had a love for you and me. You and I were both under the sentence of death. Scripture tells us the wages of sin is death. It was our rightful reward for what we had done. Now that doesn't just speak of physical death, it speaks of eternal death. You see, sin has to be blotted out completely. And for you and me to take that punishment, it would mean blotting us out completely from existence. But God loves you and me. And there was only one way that God's righteousness could be upheld and yet still show his great love for us. And that was for another to take our punishment of sin. Now, who could that other be? There was only one who could ever take our punishment. You see, to take our rightful punishment required someone who was not under the same sentence of death that you and I were. I couldn't take the punishment for any one of you, and nor could any of you take it from me, because each of us could not even bear the weight of our own punishment. But the blessed Lord Jesus, God's only beloved Son, the only perfect one who has ever walked this earth, he was able to take it. Did he need to take it? No. But willingly and perfectly according to the will of his Father, he gave himself thus. God's desire was not for you and me to be judged, but to be free and free from our sin. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing that is. And so our Lord Jesus was born into this earth, step down from the heights of glory. What a stoop that was. A stoop that you and I can never truly appreciate. In fact, I think we will only begin to possibly appreciate it when we are there with him in heaven. And we see him in his glory. He stooped down, not into the glory and riches of mankind, but into a lowly place, son of a carpenter. And then he went lower into death. And he did it because he loves you and he loves me. I wanted to read another passage, which I really just feel shows the Lord's love in an even more personal way. And that is in the Gospel of Luke. Luke and chapter 23. It's one of my favourite passages of Scripture, really. Luke 23, and beginning at verse 39. The Lord has been crucified and put on the cross. Now one of the malefactors who had been hanged spoke insultingly to him, saying, "Art thou not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou too not fear God, thou that art under the same judgment? And we indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." It's truly a wonderful picture of love. I think to really appreciate it, you need to actually think about what the Lord was actually going through at that time. I quite like my history, and over time there's been many different capital punishments. But personally, of all the ones I've come across, crucifixion is by far the worst. Crucifixion involved having nails put through your hands and feet, usually about there. As you were hung on the cross, the weight of your body would pull you down, pulling against those nails. The pain of that would cause you to have a sharp intake of breath, which would jerk you the other way against the nails, causing an extreme exhaling again, and a constant repeat of that cycle. It was an excruciating pain. Usually they would actually, understand, give them, as they offered the Lord, vinegar or some sort of alcoholic drink to actually make them drunk while they were doing it. The Lord refused all of that. The pain was maddening to some. I understand cursings of those who were doing this to you would have been very common. And yet here, amongst such horrendous pain, the Lord is able to give a message of love. We get it also said, as they put him on that cross, the Lord saying, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." What love the Lord had for even those who were nailing him to that cross. For those who were actively refusing him. And yet even those didn't realize he was going there for them. And he went there for you and me, dear friend. Just as those ones on the cross, he sought them to be saved. He is seeking your salvation. He is seeking you to know him as your Lord and Savior. This man was a malefactor, a criminal. We aren't told what he had done. But to receive capital punishment and under Roman law, you had to have done something pretty horrendous. I've often thought that they must have been seeking something. Maybe by stealing, murder, trying to get someone else's possessions, I don't know. But what had it got them? Absolutely nothing. The loss of everything, their physical freedom, and very soon, the loss of their life. They'd gone through and they had absolutely nothing left. Only potentially a few more hours to live. And yet this man, he's hanging there. I don't know how he got a realization of that who was next to him. But he came to realize, I think in those last hours, he was missing something. Something far more important than maybe anything he tried to get in his life. And he asks the Lord to remember him. He says that he realizes that what he's getting is just, it's right. He deserves where he is. And he realizes that Jesus doesn't. This punishment that he was taking was our rightful place. His words, this man, verily, I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The Lord knew every single thing about that man. He knew everything he'd ever done. He knew exactly why he was on that cross. And yet he was immediately prepared to save him from his sins. That hymn, Jesus Loves Me, goes on in the second verse, Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. I've often wondered, crucifixion, as we said, was a horrible way to die. He was scourged, a horrendous punishment as well. And it's just a personal impression. Some of you may have heard me say it before. But I feel that the reason the Lord went through one of the worst physical punishments that man could mete out was because we can have absolutely no idea what the punishment was that God had to mete out for sin on him on our behalf. Because the punishment of crucifixion was nothing compared to that. The Lord Jesus, the holy and righteous Son of God, to be associated with sin. And not his own. He was perfect to be associated with our sins. It's a picture we cannot fully comprehend. He went to that way. And through his real mercy, as we read in the next scripture, which is John chapter 19 and verse 30, some of us were talking about this morning. When therefore Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." The Lord completed that work. He drained the cup of bitterness to its full. He took every last dreg of that punishment for sin, for you and for me, and completely answered it. There is not a single part of that punishment left for you and me to take. He has completely finished it. It is done. And it never ever needs doing again. It's a wonderful joy for the believer, dear friend. The Lord has done everything. There is nothing left. There is nothing we can do to make that better. Because it's perfect. Final verse of that hymn. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. If I love him, when I die, he will take me home on high. John chapter 14. John 14, and beginning at verse 16. And I will beg the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him nor know him. But ye know him, for he abides in with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I am coming to you. Yet a little while the world sees me no longer, but ye shall see me. Because I live, ye also shall live. The Lord rose from the grave, dear friend. He rose from the grave, and it is in that we have our hope. He has gone before to prepare us a place, as we read at the start of this chapter. And he's not just gone before and is waiting for us to one day join him. No, he has sent the blessed Holy Spirit, that he is with us to guide us throughout this pathway. What a hope for each and every one of us. It's the wonderful part of the believer. The Bible never promises that being a Christian in this world is going to be an easy life. But it promises that the Lord cares for us and he will be with us right the way through until the day the Lord calls us home. Mm-hmm. That is the wonderful part of the believer, dear friend. We have that joy now and we have that hope that lies before us. Let's read it at the start of the chapter. In my Father's house there were many abodes. Were it not so, I had told you. For I go to prepare you a place. And if I go and shall prepare you a place, I am coming again and shall receive you to myself, that where I am, ye also may be. The Lord's desire is that you will be with him and be with him for all eternity. And that you will never be separated from him ever again. We read in that passage in Romans of all the many things that Paul goes through. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We belong to him. We shall never be separated from his love. And we shall be with him eternally. That is the part of the believer and the wonderful news of the gospel. It is a free gift. We spoke earlier of the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, eternal life. It's free and it's available now. The work has been done to make that gift possible. And it is being freely offered in grace to all who will accept it, regardless of where they have come from, regardless of their background, regardless of their sin, regardless of the multitude or many of those sins. That free offer of grace is available to each and every one now. The appeal of the gospel, dear friend, is will you take? It's there, it's being offered. The Lord is reaching out to each and every one. Will you accept the free offer of grace? Don't put it off, dear friend. The Lord is going to come again. We don't know when, we're not told. The Father is the only one who knows, as Scripture tells us. But the Lord is going to come again. And he's going to take home all those who belong to him. The gospel message is not just a nice story. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to be with him. If you received an invitation to dinner that was very imminent, you wouldn't ask for a week to think about it. You would make that decision there and there. And I would implore you, if you've not made that decision, that you would do so now. Because it is not a decision you can afford to put off. There's a story I once watched, actually. And apologies if you've heard me say it before. But it was a story I watched when I was back at school. It was of Satan, the evil one. The one who desires you not to be saved. And he was interviewing three of his three demons. Three of his servants to go out into the world. He said, so before I'm going to send you out, I want to know what you're going to tell people. The first one said, I'm going to tell them there's no God. Satan replied, that's ridiculous. One only has to look at the world around them to see there is a God. No, you're not going out into my field of battle. The second one came up and he said, and what are you going to say? He said, I'm going to tell them there's no hope. He said, that's ridiculous. One only has to look at the Lord Jesus and you can see that there is hope. Hope for all. Hope for anyone who would come. No, you're not going out into the world. The third one came. He said, what are you going to tell them? He said, I'm going to tell them there's still time. I'm going to tell them they don't have to make the decision now. That's the one he sent into the world. Dear friend, the gospel is a wonderful message, but I would just seek to end it with an appeal. The time is now. If you do not have your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, the time is now, because we do not know how much longer we have. If you have your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, rejoice. Because nothing will separate us from the love of God. And you are secure for all eternity. No matter what may happen in the rest of your days here on earth, you are secure. Nothing will separate you from him. Nothing will ever pluck you from his hand. And you have a hope. You have a future. And you have a Saviour who is waiting with arms outstretched to welcome you home. This is such a wonderful picture to think. He is longing to have us to be with him. He is longing for that day when he will welcome us home to be with him forevermore. May that be your part tonight. For his name's sake. Amen.